Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Required Viewing. This is, believe it or not, our fourth episode of recapping Succession Season 3. How about that? This is This is episode 4. Yeah, we have some amount of follow through. Maybe we'll actually get all 9. This is for episode 4 of Season 3 called Lion in the Meadow. Obviously, we'll stick to our normal talking points, which is, biggest gains and biggest losses for each character of note. But we have a special topic for this episode, Shams. So we have a new character has IPO'd on the Succession market. I don't know his name, but we're just going to call him Adrian Brody. That's right. Adrian Brody has joined the cast of Succession. Shams, what do you think about Adrian's character?
He literally is Adrian. I think his name is Josh, but like that's boring because he's
irrelevant.
He's literally just is Adrian Brody. He basically has that Adrian Brody style where he kind of like smiles slyly and kind of like makes a little joke and like just basically just like a new, like a typical, like born and bred New Yorker. That's Adrian Brody.
Do we know, is he a recurring character or was this like a guest appearance?
I'm pretty sure he's going to appear multiple times.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's Succession. So like they've had, you know, big actors, you know, just show up for a random episode. So I wouldn't put it past him. But one would think if you get Adrian Brody, is he an Oscar award winner? I wanted to say Oscar award winner, Adrian Brody, but
yes,
I don't know if that's right. Did he win for The Pianist?
He won for The Pianist, directed by Roman Polanski, currently exiled from the United States of America for the last 25 years for reasons people can Google. But anyways, point is that Adrian Brody was the youngest best actor winner in 2002 from The Pianist and basically hasn't done anything since. And this is probably his most interesting role in, like, I don't know, years.
Wasn't he was in something. Anyway, this was not the Adrian Brody podcast.
He was in Peaky Blinders where he did a horrible, like, 1920s New Yorker accent.
Anyway.
I know a lot about Adrian Brody. For some reason, I have an encyclopedia of Adrian Brody.
All right. Well, what did you think of this character in general? Like, what's his what's his IPO price?
Well, literally, it's at 4% of the company. That's
He actually did say he stated how much he lost. So you could actually, I think, if we went back and actually like read this and did the math, you can use the dialogue in this episode to place the market cap of Waystar Royco.
I think that's the first time. Last season, actually.
Really? Okay, yeah. I don't know what it is. I assume it's large, but there was that. So actually, this is a complete tangent, and we're probably going to go over time now. But so that was one thing I noticed, like numbers that like I previously hadn't noticed. But there's another thing which I am fairly certain was not actually referenced until now because it was actually talked about in another podcast I listen to that occasionally talks about. Well, frequently talks about Succession, and they made it a point to say that they don't put ages on the four kids. And actually, I noticed in this episode, I think was the first time they explicitly stated Kendall's age because he invited Adrian Brody to his 40th birthday. So that makes Kendall 39 years old.
Yeah, you're right. I guess they never officially stated it, but I think that makes sense. Right, like I'm pretty sure
Connor officially old enough to run for president.
Well, yes,
makes sense.
That was obvious.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Connor was over the age of 35. So Adrian Brody, I like his character. In the sense that I like someone who's not afraid of Logan, but also isn't. But it's still like willing to work with him. And I think because to me, the problem with sometimes with characters is that they're either grovel too easily in front of Logan or they're too combative and just like anti-Logan. He was a character who is never going to grovel, but he's also not he's not going to close the window to work with him. And so I kind of liked his character, and like, I like that his character's, his motivation for the meeting had nothing to do with like numbers or anything, but he just genuinely wanted to see the family come together. And that's what he was basing his whole decision off of.
I am not sure how much do we like, what do you think? Is that something that he had like pre-planned with Logan, or is that, you know, is he ambushing Logan as much as he's ambushing Kendall there?
Oh, I don't think he's ambushing either. Oh, I don't think he was I don't think he was engaged to ambush either of them at all. I think he genuinely, he genuinely wanted to see if the two could reconcile, because to him that was the only way he could move forward with them.
I thought he already had like a meeting scheduled with the other people, the Sandy and Stewie.
He did, but he backed out. I mean, he was gonna go with. He was gonna go with the Roys up until a certain point.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about Adrian Brody. So, pretty volatile stock. We'll see how much he's involved in upcoming episodes. So as far as the other characters, do you have any standouts for large gains or losses here?
I think everyone, honestly, was a loser this
week. What can we start with my counter argument?
Sure.
I'm not going to argue with you on most of them, but I think there was one character that notably gained stock, in my opinion. I might have actually even said this last week, but I'm talking about Connor.
Oh, okay. I can buy that. Connor is like the shibby, is like the what's the crypto I'm thinking about? Shibu or
I don't Doge know any coin. Of the cryptos. He's like, so the, you can say
he's like
anything.
The Doge coin. It's like he's a joke, but you're kind of like, yeah, but he could like go from like one.
He
penny.
Is the GameStop of of Succession's. He could
go from a penny
market.
To like a dollar, maybe.
Yeah, the scene with him. Basically, kind of throw. Well, this ties into Shiv, who continues to get beat up upon by everyone around her. She has a bit of a rally later in the episode when she, you know, fully throws her weight at the I forget the dude's name, but the editorial guy for the network. But Connor just rolls in and basically like fully takes advantage of the situation, understands he has leverage. He had a great line basically comparing Shiv's current role in the company to when she, he said something like she used to play post office and she would stamp all the mail that came to the house. And he basically said like, that's pretty much what you're doing now, which is a very apt metaphor for what she's doing. Like she literally is just like, completely redundant and putting fake stamps on stuff that's already been decided in her honorary title as president. But it's nice to see Connor like not a doofus for, you know, one scene.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget. Connor's an interesting character because it's kind of like, is he actually stupid, or does he just not want to play the game and therefore doesn't think smart? Because I think sometimes he just is like, because he says he'll just be like, I'm out, I don't want to be a part of this, right? So sometimes I'm kind of like, he's actually maybe not completely dumb and ignorant, he just doesn't want to play the game, so then he just takes himself out. But then when he wants to play the game, he's not like Shiv, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
All right, well, let's talk about the biggest losers of the episode, which I think is pretty much everyone else. Anyone you want to start with?
Logan literally loses because he almost dies.
I mean, I'm going to be fair. I think if I did that much, I think he actually probably walked further than I could have in that state. So it's been a long pandemic with very little exercise.
Yeah, I think Logan's hubris obviously gets to him. Kendall F's it up, of course, by in the moment not realizing that the number one thing he could do is to fake empathy and love for his dad and take care of him. And it's a really interesting parallel because Logan fakes love for his son by giving the speech where he says that maybe Kendall could actually do the job. And it's the first time, you know, he's actually
pivotal scene.
Yeah. First, most biggest scene in the whole episode. The first time in the show, he's ever actually even hinted at that possibility that Kendall could do it. And of course, everyone is like, does he mean it? Does he not mean it? And Logan says, you'll do anything to get the girl to fuck you or whatever.
Yeah. You'll say anything on a date.
Yeah. So, which is a great thing because then but you still are like, maybe he's not lying. But Kendall doesn't understand that even if he hates his dad, for him to win Josh's approval, he needed to have take care of him looking to Josh and be like, Josh, like, we should talk about like my involvement at that moment was just a complete blunder. And Romulus even calls him out on it later.
So as far as other characters, once again, not a very good day for Cousin Greg.
Tom.
Oh, no. Well, I could have said Tom. Yeah. Tom ranking jails, not a great look, but, I particularly loved that Greg immediately when face to face with Logan blows any sense of opportunity he has to play both sides. While ordering a rum and coke, which he still argues was too strong, and then makes the great, great Greg level decision to chug it on his way out. This is probably a new low for Greg after buying a $40,000 watch that doesn't work in the last episode. Truly phenomenal.
Yeah, Greg on his Machiavellian. Is kind of takes a seat back because after all these things, the best he can come up with is like director of like one of the parks. And it's like, Greg, you could have gotten so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They basically ask him what he wants. And he's like, I want to run a theme park.
Yeah. And it's like, Greg, like, that's not what you asked for in that situation.
No. Oh my God.
Related to that, Tom, yeah, as we mentioned, is basically at his lowest, just ready to go to prison. Romulus, I guess, is just doesn't go. I mean, I'm pretty disappointed with two of the characters this season from a writing perspective. And that's Romulus and Shiv. I do not like how the writers have treated each of their characters. For different reasons. With Romulus, I just think they have not given him anything. Like, I think they haven't given him, it's been four episodes, and there's no interesting arc with him.
Yeah, he's basically, well, okay, so there's they're kind of just building slowly off of the relationship between him and Jerry, which again comes into play a bit this episode because you have Jerry kind of casually mentioning that she's actually dating, even though the date she described felt more like a business development thing. But he did not react well to that. So there's definitely some movement. I see what you're saying. And I do hope that they give you like a Romulus episode, you know, by the end of the show or the season. But for the most part, yeah, he is kind of just like that. Again, I think I said he's a bit like the, you know, like the Creed from The Office of the show, just kind of is there to make random comments that are hilarious about what the other characters are doing.
He has good one-liners and stuff, which is fine, but like he just is from a story arc.
Great one-liners such as, do you have a thing for almost killing dad? It's like playing just the tip, but with killing dad.
And then Shiv, I'll be real. I hate I feel like it's been so lazy with her. I have hated her acting this. I've hated everything about Chip this season. I hate her acting. I hate her dialogue. I hate her arc. It's so lazy.
Oh, I actually thought the episode with the Nirvana, at least the Nirvana scene, was some of Sarah Snook's best
work on the show. But like everything else, I've just, and like this episode, I hated how they just had to like, so like they set up this thing where she fails, but then they give her an opportunity to succeed with this Ravenhead situation.
Yeah.
But the actual scene where she's supposed to showcase this gravitas of somehow convincing this unconvincible person, right, is so lackluster. Like, that scene ends, and it's just like, wait, that's all, like, that's how it's gonna end? Like, that's how he's gonna get convinced, just from, like, her saying, we don't get embarrassed? And it's like,
well, that's the thing, is it was, well, there was that line, but I think the better line before that was when she basically told him, this conversation's already over. And she said, like, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of, like, how many times we yell fuck at each other before you realize that this is what he, she basically invoked, you know, her dad, a la Kendall early season two. Like, my dad told me to do this. Like, that's what is so disappointing, is it ends up essentially being her invoking Logan's authority to, is what actually wins there.
Right, but she still doesn't invoke that authority. Like, if I was, they build Ravenhead as this person who's like, he'll never cave, right? And
well, she does invoke it because she says we.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that Ravenhead is built up as like, oh, he can't be convinced, right? Like that, like he's major thing. And the scene itself is just so lackluster. Like, if you're comparing that to the scene in season two, which is like one of the best scenes in the show to me, when Kendall just completely kills, what was it called again?
The BuzzFeed like thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. Looker? No, that's a real startup.
When he just completely kills it, that is a convincing scene of like a guy. He may be directed by his dad, but yeah, that is someone who can, with authority, say, you all are fired, and people believe it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Shiv. It's like when she just says, like, you're going to do this because my dad said so. I'm like, I would say, like, I would need to hear your dad say it and not you say it.
Yeah. And she also even kind of got reamed out by Logan in this episode as well. So,
she's basically
going through the rock tumbler, and we'll see where she comes out, if there's anything there. I hope they're building to something.
I'm really intrigued and interested with Logan and Kendall a lot. I think they're building both of them up really well. I think, to be honest, the other characters beyond them, those two, are pretty lackluster this season and pretty not well developed compared to the previous seasons. But Kendall versus Logan is such a strong dynamic that it's carrying the season to the point where, and I know we're coming to the end and we should get to our lines, but my somewhat mid-season prediction, because I think there's 9 episodes this season, so this is like almost midway.
Yeah.
My mid-season prediction is I think that one of Kendall or Logan will not be with us in season 4.
Oh, that's funny that you say that, because I actually I actually thought they may be in the process of killing off Logan on that walk.
Oh, that would have been next level. That would have been like that would have been even more absurd than like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like it crossed my mind for sure. I'm like, are they doing this?
One of them dying is the only real logical conclusion, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be Logan. And I think season 4 then deals with the fallout and everyone trying to then fight for.
Yeah. That's funny, because I was thinking earlier when I was prepping for this, if you thought patricide was going to be an event in this season or any other season. So, all right. Well, that's the prediction. You heard it here first. We'll see if, Shams is right in 5 weeks. All right. Line of the episode. I want to say before I reveal my line, it was such an obvious pick that I am hoping this is the first week we agree on line of the episode.
Is it Tom?
Yes.
Okay, then we both agree.
Okay, so just to be clear, you're referring to the line.
Yeah, I'm pulling.
You're referring to the line. I'd castrate you and marry you in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Okay, I'm glad I called that because when I heard, I had written down some lines as I was watching, and then when I heard that one, I'm like, "That's clearly it. That's clearly it." So, what was it? Nero and Sporus, Tom and Nero Greg. And so,
but yes, I'll say this. If there's a just so that we have two, okay. If there's a follow up, I did love.
fuck you and God bless.
No, I did love Kendall's
little Lord Fuckleroy. Yeah, yeah. So technically the full line was he says fuck you and God bless, and then he hangs up and it says little Lord.
Yeah, Fuckleroy. So it's not him. It's not the name. It's the actual automated messaging saying the name.
And then it comes back when he leaves the conference. That was pretty good. Yeah,
that was wasn't him saying it, but it was the automated. So that to me is a runner up.
Oh, another good runner up. When Greg leaves Kendall and he says, "Are you going to betray me, Greg?" like three times before the rooster crows, and Greg just says, "Cock-a-doodle-doo." No, it's great.
He says, "Tell him I said beep beep on the road."
Oh my god, Kendall, like using pop culture disses, but then like he's just like. The writing for Kendall, they're so good at coming up with like bad lines for Kendall. Like lines he thinks are cool. Like they did this in the premiere too with the beanstalk thing. It's like, he's like, Logan's like, "I'm going to grind your bones to make my bread." And Kendall comes up with a comeback of like, "I'm going to climb his beanstalk," or some ridiculous thing.
But yeah, no. So if I were to rate the episode, Logan Kendall stuff range from good to really good to potentially great at times, and everything not including those two, in my opinion, was average at best.
Yeah, I think episode 3 is still the strongest. You can join us next week to hear reactions to episode 5, which is based on episode titles. The episode title I've been looking forward to the most, episode 5, is called Retired Janitors of Idaho. So how can that episode not be great?
Sounds like some like 1980s underground punk Midwest band.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That is a wrap for today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.